This past summer, I went fishing in South Dakota, up on Lake Oahe, just north of Pierce, South Dakota. And as I was coming home, I was coming down Highway 183, and I got to the Nebraska border, and I saw that very familiar green sign that says, "Welcome to Nebraska, the good life." And I smiled because I agree, it is a good life here. I've lived in a variety of different places, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin. And they're all, none of them are bad places to live, but there is something unique about Nebraska. It is a good life. Now, not everybody thinks that way. It is a fact that it is very hard to get pastors to move to Nebraska. They just don't want to come here. Why do we want to live in Nebraska? I know that some of you work in businesses that have the same problem. You cannot recruit people to Nebraska because they don't want to live here. I don't know what's wrong with Nebraska. I don't know why they feel that way. Maybe they don't feel it's exciting enough, or maybe it's too flat. You know, it doesn't have any mountains. It doesn't have any oceans. You can see the sunsets and the sunrises. My son lived in Connecticut for 3 years. He didn't see one because of all the trees and everything. But here you see it. It's just a wonderful thing. It is sort of a good life. Well, I use that sort of an example because a lot of people chase after a good life, and they chase after, to me, all the wrong things. They chase after possessions and money and exciting things and power and prestige and title, and it always leaves you unsatisfied. It always leaves you wanting more. You get it, and then I want more. There's more I want. And it never satisfies. I give you three great examples of people who had everything, and it was never satisfying. Howard Hughes, Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson. They had money, they had fame, and they were miserable. Their life was miserable. They had it all, according to what we might think having it all would look like. But their life was miserable. What is the good life? Well, we've been talking about that over the last 3 weeks. And to me, the good life begins by saying it's a spiritual life. It is a life where we're connected with God. It's prayerful. It's thankful, being thankful for what we have, being grateful for what we have, not always desiring more and more and more. And it's joyful, finding content and peace despite the circumstances in our life. You know, we talked about happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness oftentimes comes as a result of your circumstances. I'm happy because, and you fill in the circumstance, or I'm not happy because you fill in the circumstance. But joy, contentment and peace can be found despite the circumstances. I've seen that time and time again in people in our congregation who are going through lots of challenges, even suffering, and there's still a sense of joy in who they are. I think that comes from being connected with God, that being having a spiritual life. The second one is the purpose, having a purpose. Why do I walk this earth? Why does my life matter? Why am I here? And that's coming to terms with, you know, these are the resources of my life. I have my time, I have my gifts and my talents, I have my love, my compassion, my encouragement, I have my money, my service, I have all these resources. What am I going to do that when my life is all over, I've made some kind of difference because I've lived? You know, what's my sense of purpose? And then finally, I think the good life is all about relationships. And I say relationships, family and friends, because relationships last. Nothing else does. I mean, the clothes that you put on this morning to come to church, maybe those shoes you're wearing that you looked high and low to get, someday they're going to either be in a secondhand store or just find themselves to a landfill. And the car that you drove here will someday be in a scrapyard, and it'll be rusted. I mean, think of all the things that we have that will just decay and we won't even have them anymore, but relationships last forever. Yesterday we had a funeral, and at that funeral we proclaimed Jesus' death and resurrection, and because he rises, we have new life. We said that one day we will see each other again. That's powerful. And that's why relationships are so worth an investment of our life. That's the good life. It's counterintuitive because we think the good life is what happens for us and to us. But the good life is actually found when we give ourselves away. And it's sharing the good life is a powerful way of truly making a difference in the lives of other people. That's what our lesson today is about. It is a letter to the church in Corinth in the first century, written by St. Paul. Corinth is about an hour and a half from Athens, Greece. What's left of Corinth is evidence of a town that probably had about 250,000 people in it, about the size of Lincoln. It was very advanced for first century living. It had underground water pipes. It had a sewage system, not like ours, because it was more of a public toilet type of thing, but it was very well designed. It had incredible streets and roadways. My wife and I got to be there a few years ago. It's just incredible to see the kind of society that must have been there at one time. And so Paul's writing to that church, those people, and he's saying, I'm preparing you to give. I want you to be willing to give an offering because there's this church in Macedonia and they're poor. They don't have a lot. And I want you to give to help them out. And I want you to give generously, and I hope that you give cheerfully. I hope you find joy in giving something back to God's work. I find it interesting that for 2,000 years, this is the way the Christian church has existed, by basically the church asking itself, give, please give. And it's through that giving that the church has expanded throughout the world and continues to do God's work in the world. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but your giving makes this church possible. I mean, yesterday we had a funeral in the morning, we had a wedding in the afternoon, and we're now having worship, and we have Sunday school and Delve. So in the last 24, 36 hours, we've had a lot going on here, and you've made it possible through your giving. And there's a lot that God does through all of that. I mean, I know that in worship, God works in ways that are beyond my comprehension. I have people walk out of worship, they say things like this. They say, boy, I really needed that this morning. Or I was really touched by that song or those prayers or that sermon. Or I really needed to hear that challenge that was said today. Or I feel inspired. This week has been a lousy week and I just needed something to inspire me. And then I see it with people congregating, seeing people who make friendships, and there's a sense of care about one another, and it happens just naturally in the halls as people get to know each other. I see it in downstairs, hundreds of children. In the brochure, the stewardship brochure we sent to you, we have 900 and some odd children in education here. And I think that God's doing something there. I know I went to Sunday school when I was a kid, and I believe there's some seeds that were planted there. And I'm grateful for that. I think that's happening in Delve, our confirmation program, which is just meeting right now in the fellowship hall right on the other side of that wall. It happens when you gather together in small groups. It happens when people are caring for each other, visiting the homebound and the sick and the hospitalized. And they come and they serve at funerals for the sake of the family. I see that happening throughout. People making prayer shawls. And we deliver these prayer shawls to these people, and they put them on. They don't take them off. They're just so wrapped up in the fact that somebody cared enough that when they're going through something really hard, that there's this prayer shawl that they wear, reminding them that there's people praying for them. There are people who give generously of their time and their talent and their money for missions in this community. And Southwood gives about 25% of all of what we receive out the door to missions. I mean, all of that you make happen. And as I said last week, the Bible talks about having a reward in heaven, and it's even referenced in our lesson today. I don't think the reward is going to be monetary because money's worthless in heaven. But I think the reward in heaven, well, God will open our eyes and we will see how many people we really did impact. We will see the faces of perhaps strangers and we go, I did that? How did I do that? I never met that person. Yeah, but you gave. You gave of your time. You gave of your service. You gave of your money. You gave of your life. And you made a difference in the lives of many, 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 many people. That's the power of giving. It's the power of sharing the good life. And I'm so thankful that we have a generous spirit in our church. We have a giving spirit. This church has got a history of that. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you that you are generous and you give. This church wouldn't be the church it was without you. I pray that we might have a great year in 2018. I pray that we will continue to do what we do best. We worship, we grow, we serve, we give, and we invite. It's a marvelous church, and it's doing great things in this world. We're certainly not perfect, far from it. There's no such thing as a perfect church because it's all full of sinners. But we, with the partnership of God, do some pretty cool things. And I'm thankful for that. We ask you to give as we do every year, just as the church has been asking itself to give for 2,000 years. And I'd ask not only that you'd give of your resources, but also of your time, and also of your talent, and yes, also of your prayers for our church as we walk into the next year. Thank you. And remember these words of Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.